coming up on the Joyful Learning Pod.
You sent two books, one for the teacher or the librarian and one for like a friend. And one of the most powerful book promotion things that is an organic thing everybody can do is share a book and talk about a book. And reading is social. Who reads in a bubble? Who reads in isolation? When I read something, I immediately text somebody or call somebody or tweet about it, or like I just have to tell somebody about it and I want to share that book. Yeah. I want to hand it to them when I'm done and say, okay, your turn. Hello, and welcome to the Joyful Learning Pod podcast. My name is Melissa Tom, and I am very excited to welcome two guests to the show today. We have Jennifer Halber, who is here from Minnesota and is a member of Book Posse. And we have Lisa McMahon, who is an author and lives in Phoenix, Arizona. And both of these places are very important places in my own life. So welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Very happy to be here.
Yeah, glad to be here.
And we'll just do a very brief little intro. I'll let Lisa introduce yourself very briefly. Just give us a little bit of background and then we'll move to Jennifer and then I'll ask a couple of questions.
Awesome. Yes. So I am a middle grade author. I have some young adult books as well, but I'm writing middle grade right now. I have about 20 books, I think, for middle grade readers. As you know, I live in Tempe, Arizona. I have two children. I'm married to my husband, Matt, who's also a writer and a former musician. And I think that's everything.
That's a great, great way to start. So thank you. And I do want to just say, I didn't say this, but both of these women are in my makerspace in person. So this is not a virtual interview. I am sitting across the table from both of them. So Jennifer, do you want to give us a little background about you?
Sure. So I am from Minnesota. I teach sixth grade English language arts in a suburb of St. Paul, Cottage Grove. And I love my job and I love my kids and I love sharing books with them. And that's how I came to know Melissa. I'm a member of Book Posse, which is a ARC sharing group. And Melissa is also a member. And I found out that she originally lived in Minnesota. And so that's how we became even more connected. And then Lisa McMahon sent me a copy of her first book in the Map of Flames series the Forgotten Five series called The Map of Flames. Read it, loved it, book talked it to my kids and found out a whole slew of them wanted to read it. So Lisa was generous enough to send us some more copies and 49 kids read it throughout the school year, which was awesome. So when I found out Lisa was going to be here in Connecticut, basically in Melissa's backyard, I decided to fly out for the book event. And I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, that's just ridiculously cool that we're here from all over the country just to do this awesome podcast. So thank you so much for doing that.
Oh, it's so fun.
I'm excited.
I literally am like giddy with excitement because it is. It's so fun to see an idea come together and have amazingly talented people want to be part of it. And I am just very grateful that both of you made time to do this. And so Lisa, you are here in Connecticut because you are on a book launch tour?
Yeah, it's a book party kind of thing. I started using the term book party for the sake of kids because for years I would do my school visits and at the end I'd invite them to the book signing or the book event at the local bookstore. And I wasn't getting a lot of kids showing up for that. And I started to think, if I were in fourth grade and someone said, come to my book signing, I would think that sounds like the most boring thing ever. What am I supposed to do? Watch you sign books? That sounds awful. And so one day by accident, I was saying to a school full of fourth, fifth, and sixth graders, I'm going to be doing an event later on tonight. It's a book party and you're invited. And the whole group went, yeah. And it was like magic. A light bulb went off and I started using the term book party. And I think that works so much better for kids. And we just have had great success ever since then with getting kids to a bookstore and a lot of them for the first time ever.
I think that is ingenious and so simple, right? It's such an easy shift in language that just really changes the feel of everything that you just explained. And something that I do a lot of work with and that I really want to be known for is culture of reading. And for 7 years now, I've been a librarian. I was a classroom teacher for 12 years. And books were always at the center of everything I've done. And I was a reader growing up. So that is something that I am very, very passionate about and connected with. And I think that one of the mistakes I've made in the past with my enthusiasm is I forget what it's like to be a reader who doesn't consider themselves a reader, or a child who doesn't like it and isn't, it's not fun. And so that is something that I've kind of tried to shift in my thinking and talk about a little bit more. And I do think one thing that would do that is this idea of it's a party. Yeah. And, you know, it's not just about reading the actual book. It's about the connections you make with the people who are there at this party. Yeah. And a lot of the readers who show up to this, I think, would shift their thinking a little bit when they're connected. And Jennifer, going back to your experience with the book Map of Flames and that connection, you had a more direct connection with the author, Lisa. Right?
Absolutely.
And could you talk a little bit about what you noticed in your classroom in real life? What happened? And were there readers who weren't really traditional enthusiastic readers? Like, just tell us a little bit about what happened.
Yeah, they were so excited to get a copy of the book in their hands, and they encouraged those that got it before them to hurry up and finish, and, you know, you'll love it, and they have superpowers, and they talked about which superpower they would want the most. That was always a question I asked them when they finished the book. And then they just kept, when I told them about this event and the fact that I was coming, I'm going to Connecticut and I'm going to meet her, they were just like, oh, can we come too? Well, it's a little far from Minnesota, but I agree. The whole party thing and the connection between having a teacher who is passionate about the book and willing to talk about it and talk about the author, and even just the messages we would get back when we would tweet their picture and their favorite part of the book, and you would, you know, say something back, and I would always pass that on to them.
I knew you would. I had a feeling. But that's one thing that was so special about it, is that you, in all of your busyness, took the time to take a picture of every single kid who was checking out this book and made them feel special. It made me feel special. You tweeted them out to me, and I'm not sure if I caught all of them, but I caught a lot of them.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It was a great way for us to connect through social media. It's a great opportunity for you to teach kids about social media and how you can connect with people. And I just thought it was really special the way this worked between us.
Oh, likewise. It felt, I mean, I felt like I knew you, that I'd met you, and now I have in person, and I'm like having a total geek moment.
And so... So am I, because we had this thing that we did this spring.
Hashtag joyful reading. That's where all of this comes from.
Yes.
Something that you said, the social media aspect. There's a lot that could be talked about. That's going to be probably a separate episode on some level, but Book Posse is also going to be a separate episode. So stay tuned in the future if you want to hear more about who we are and what we do. But essentially, Twitter is our platform. And it is all on social media. And I feel over, for sure, the last 5 to 7 years, Twitter has been something that has been seen as very negative by people who don't use it because they see it promoted in negative ways. But I am such an advocate for teaching both students and the teachers in my school how it can be used for so many powerful, amazing things, connection being the most important. And there are so many opportunities that I have been able to have because I've been on Twitter and because I've tweeted about a book that I read and I tagged the author and the publisher, or I just shared an event that I was going to, and people respond. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how you feel about yourself or how you see yourself as an author, but you are a rock stars for us, for librarians, for teachers, for kids at school. You are like the movie stars, right? For kids who love to read, that's who you are. And when they get a response to a tweet that I sent, just like Jennifer was sharing, it is a big deal. It is such a big deal. So I just want to, again, thank you for being responsive. And before we got online here, we were talking a little bit about some things that you would like to see shift in your work that you do and be a little more directly connected sometimes, like you were with Jennifer in her class. You were, it was a direct conduit to that exchange. And just talk a little bit about what you would like to see and how you hope things progress with that connection and why you think that's important.
Sure. You know, I guess this started a couple of years ago with the pandemic, when I started to think about how to do my job in this
new environment,
exactly.
New world. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it was very different because I feel like my best moments as an author are when I'm in front of kids talking to a gymnasium or a cafeteria full of them and making connections and getting them excited about books. And suddenly that stopped. And, you know, I still had books to write and my books were still coming out. I think I have had 4 books out now during the pandemic. And for 3 of those, I was not in schools at all. We were doing virtual things, which was really hard for me as an author to get used to at first. But one thing I realized during the process is that I didn't have the connections, even though I've been to thousands of schools probably by now over the years. Whenever my publicist would set me up on book tour, they basically take care of everything and they take care of making sure I'm protected and that my email address doesn't go out to anyone or my phone number. And that's lovely and wonderful and necessary. But I felt like there's so many teachers and librarians I've met over the past 14 years of doing this job that I don't know how to contact. Their name might not even be on an old itinerary of mine. And so I'm thinking about them all during this pandemic and going, I wish I knew how to reach out to them. And so I started to just pay more attention on Twitter. You know, I would see hashtag book chat and hashtag MG books and stuff. And as I was kind of watching this, these different hashtags and trying to find teachers and librarians in this age group, this middle grade age group, I started following people and got to know people. And then right before Map of Flames came out, I'm going to tell you right now, you probably have no idea how this came about, but I was feeling scared. It's a brand new series. I can't get in front of students. If the first book in a series doesn't sell, the whole series, it's over, because you have to get those readers in the first book so that they build throughout the whole series. The first book is always the book that sells the most copies. And so it's a lot of pressure. And the last time I had a first book in a series was The Unwanteds back in 2011. So things were very different. And I was trying to think of ways to get the word out about Map of Flames. And then I saw a tweet from Sarah Zarr. And she had her first middle grade book out. She's a good friend of mine. We have the same agent. We've hung out. We've done events. We have done events together. But we've also done like writing retreats together. And she was retweeting a book posse tweet because they had read her book, her ARC, before the book came out, and they were retweeting it. And there were like 17 or 18 retweets from all of these librarians and teachers. And I was like, what is this book posse thing? And I like followed the hashtag so I could watch everything you were doing. And this was probably 2 or 3 weeks before Map of Flames was coming out. And I think it was a Saturday. I don't remember even who I reached out to first, but I found, was it Cindy?
Cindy,
maybe?
Yep.
It
Cindy
was Cindy Schwind.
Yep.
Yes, okay, so it was Cindy. And I reached out to her on a Saturday feeling like maybe there's some hope here to get some people talking about this series. And I said, I have some ARCs. how many do you want and where should I send them? And so first she was like, oh, send them all to me and I'll send them out. And I'm like, no, let me pay for the postage. And I sent, I don't know how many, 10 maybe, to Book Posse members. And you all received them. You all posted pictures of you getting them. You posted reviews. You posted about them constantly. And then when the book came out, you were there. And I felt like I had a chance here with this book. Like things were starting to move in the right direction. And I felt like these are the people I've been trying to find, who I know I've interacted with over the years, but I didn't have contact information for. So that's how that was from my end of things, my angle. And I also worked with Book Allies, and everybody was just fantastic. And you got the word out. And I was like, this is amazing what you are doing. You have no idea. It's been such a struggle for 2 years just trying to get your book out there. And you made it. Oh man, it was just seriously like really made this book happen, I feel like.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's really fun for us as members of Book Posse to get that feedback as well. We are passionate about what we do both with the books and of course with our students. And so it's just so heartwarming to hear that what we're doing is helpful, you know, because we know that we love to share books with kids. And we know we love to get the books, but it's good to hear from an author perspective that it does make a difference.
It made such a big difference. You changed the trajectory of this book. And then we just, like, after you did what you did, I started to think of more things I could do right at the beginning of the book's release to help, to kind of tag along. And so it was my birthday during that time. And I just did a birthday tweet. And I said, for my birthday, I'm going to give away some copies of Map of Flames. And I had my assistant make a Google form, but you had to send it to your school. So that was a great way for me to know that people who were signing up for this free book were actually teachers and librarians. And so I thought, well, what if I send each one two so they could give one to their best friend, you know, their best school friend? And that was so well received. I mean, I guess free books, of course, but you know, people were really excited about it. And just about everybody tweeted when they got their book in the mail and showed pictures of it. And that just kept things going from what you started.
Yeah.
And we just kind of went from there. I mean, I was able to do in-person schools with this book as well for the first time in Arizona. So that was helpful as well. And that just made things, I mean, we hit number 4 on the New York Times bestseller list.
Wow.
And I didn't think that was going to happen at all.
That is such an amazing story.
Yeah.
Well, and just one last thing to wrap up this part of the conversation is that idea of you sent two books, one for the teacher or the librarian and one for like a friend. And one of the most powerful book promotion things that is an organic thing everybody can do is share a book and talk about a book. And reading is social. Who reads in a bubble? Who reads in isolation? When I read something, I immediately text somebody or call somebody or tweet about it, or like I just have to tell somebody about it and I want to share that book.
Yeah.
I want to hand it to them when I'm done and say, okay, your turn. And when you are a librarian and you do that with your students, it is just so much fun to see how excited they get. And something that maybe in a future episode I would love to talk about too is an ARC sharing group at a school level and just a book review club, which I've been trying to do for like 6 years with a little bit limited success, but I'm hoping to kind of revamp it and come back in the fall and really promote it a lot. But so thank you for answering that question. So Lisa, you are, we said, are currently on a book party book tour or a summer book party tour. So where have you visited? And how's it going? And do you enjoy traveling?
Yes, I love to travel. My husband and I came out this way around, I don't know, I want to say like 9 or so years ago. Went to Portland for the first time. We've been to Boston a couple of times before. And I was here in this area and did an event at RJ Julia. I think 7 years ago. And that's the last time I've been out on the East Coast. And I've been wanting to come back so badly. And so I thought maybe we'll just build a little vacation and then I'll reach out to a few stores, maybe like 6 or 7 stores, and maybe 1 or 2 of them will say, yeah, let's do a book party. And then they all said yes. And so it's been wonderful. We started in Boston, did Brookline Booksmith, and went up to Portland and visited Longfellow Books and did a little event in the park there. Stopped at a bunch of little bookstores along the way. Then last night I did RJ Julia and had a wonderful event there. Or that was 2 nights ago. And then today I am visiting Turning the Page bookstore for the very first time. And I know that Pia, the owner, originally reached out to me, and I was in the middle of my tour, I think, for Map of Flames. And so I think I passed her along to my assistant, and then I'm not sure they ever connected or something didn't go right there. But was it you that?
Yeah. So it's interesting, the backstory of this part of everything. On Independent Bookstore Weekend, which is the last weekend of every April, it's nationwide, so most states participate. On Saturday, Carrie and I did a little tour. We're going to have an episode about Independent Bookstore Weekend also sometime in the future, so we'll go into more detail about that. But Sunday, I was going to go to a couple bookstores on my own, and I was going to start with Turning the Page in Monroe, which is about 40 minutes maybe from where I live, and I was going to then go on to an upper northwest corner, which was a longer drive, and those were the only two I'd really be able to get to in the hours that they were open. So I get to Turning the Page right when it opens, and Pia is somebody that I sort of know. She was a former librarian. She was active in the Connecticut Association of School Librarians, which I am now currently president of. We have a very active network, and but hadn't really seen her in real life for a long time. Her husband and her started the bookstore. I'm not sure. We'll have to find out from her exactly when, but it's newer, last few years. And it is the most amazing bookstore. And I've gone to lots of independent bookstores. It is so friendly. You can definitely tell she has a librarian brain. Most of the collection is really K-12. There's one little section for adults, but it's really a kid's bookstore. And it's so visually pleasing. I can't wait for you to see it in real life. And I didn't leave that day. I got there at 4 a.m. and I left when it closed at 10 a.m. and I left when it closed at 4 because there was just so busy and people were coming in, and she had guide dogs that were being trained that were just there to like get used to people because there's something in Monroe, some connection she had. Lauren Tarshis came for an event that I had no idea this was happening.
Awesome, let's just say.
Oh my gosh.
Lauren is fantastic. I love her.
And I knew that this podcast was going to start happening because Carrie and I had been talking about this for over a year, and we finally decided we're just going to try to make it happen. So I had my little notebook and I was people watching and just listening and kind of just having fun. And this woman came up to the checkout with Map of Flames. And Pia knew her. Like, she has kids and she comes in often, and she lives in town, I think. And I just said, oh my gosh, I said, I just finished this book and it's fabulous. And Book Posse, I mentioned a little bit, like I just gave her a little bit of background, and I'm like, can I take your picture? So I took her picture and I posted it on Twitter, and I tagged you and I tagged Book Posse. And immediately I feel like you commented or you somehow reached out back to me. And Pia and I had been talking subsequently that day about what you just said. She had reached out earlier at some point and everything kind of just fell off. Like, nothing came about, something got lost in the cracks. And so actually, I think you commented on my tweet, and then I private messaged you and said this whole backstory.
Yeah.
You immediately responded and you're like, let's set something up.
Yeah.
So that was like the reconnection. And then you got in touch with Pia, and oh my gosh, you sent me postcards that I could give to my students for the book party. It was an invite, so exciting. I did it for all my 6th, 7th, and 8th graders at the end of the year for summer book talks. And I hope that some of the students will show up today, that I'll get to see them in the summer.
Well, even if they don't, they have a nice postcard
yes.
that they can, you know,
yeah.
pin to their bulletin boards and stuff.
So again, I feel like you go back to Twitter or whatever your social media is that you're active on. It can be used for so many powerful, positive things. Mm-hmm. And I'm just grateful that, again, that connection, and it's both ways, you know. From Book Posse, we do a lot, we spend a lot of time, and you mentioned Cindy Schwinn. You'll learn more about her in our Book Posse episode, but she is the glue that holds us together. Mm-hmm. I am somewhat embarrassed to admit that I get a private message for at least once every 2 weeks reminding me, Melissa, you need to retweet. You're a little behind on your retweeting. Completely true. I get a little bit involved in other things sometimes, but she is the one that makes sure we know where the books are, that they get passed on in a timely fashion. It's just, again, she is amazing. I hope you get to meet her in real life sometime.
I hope so too, because when I first reached out to her with the ARCs that I had, she was on the ball. She was just fantastic.
All right. So one other question I have for you is, what is something in your life that brings you joy?
Well, there's a couple things, and one of them has just been rekindled, and that is the joy of seeing kids in the bookstore or in the schools, when their eyes light up and that you realize that you've made a connection and they're excited about a book. And then, you know, they come to the event and their parents are like, I don't know what you said today at school, but my child has never been excited about books before. So that gives me so much joy. Non-book related, I find so much joy in having a balcony that overlooks something beautiful, the ocean, mountains, something. And I just love to sit on a balcony and feel like everything is at peace and it's quiet and I have something to inspire me to look at. So that brings me a lot of joy too. And we were just able to do that on our little vacation out here on the East Coast.
That's fabulous. Thank you. Is there anything that I did not ask that you would want to talk about?
I think we covered a lot.
I do too.
But I do want to say I am all about connecting with librarians and teachers. I think that's so important that authors do that. We have so much more in common than, you know,
sometimes people realize.
Yeah. And we want the same things.
And I want to encourage the librarians and teachers and educators and even parents, don't be afraid to reach out. I think that's what I hear, that they don't think it's attainable.
Yeah.
And it never hurts to ask is always my advice.
I agree completely. It never hurts to ask. You never know when we're going to be traveling. And if you're a Title I school and you're like, I can't pay you, but I saw that you're going to be in my area, do you have any extra time to stop by and talk to my kids? If someone did that to me, I would absolutely try to make that work.
Yeah.
A lot of times when I'm on book tour, I can make something happen for you if you don't have a budget. If you do have a budget, great. Invite those authors to come to your school. That's for a lot of authors, that is how they make money. And, you know, their books income is not that great, not enough to sustain them, but they do school visits. That's there are different ways to do that. You can get grants. And maybe you have a benefactor in your community who is just waiting to be asked for some help. Can you help me bring an author to our school?
Right.
And you just never know. But there are those times where, I mean, I'm not the only author that wants all kids to have access to books. And if that means I show up at your school and you make an attempt to sell a few copies, that works for me. And so, you know, I don't have a problem with that at all. I love when educators reach out to me.
Excellent. Well, thank you both for being here. I could talk literally all that morning to both of you about all these topics. So thank you, Jennifer, for coming all the way from Minnesota.
It's been a pleasure.
And I'm so excited, Lisa, for the event this afternoon. And I just again want to thank you and thank you to all the listeners. We'll be right back.